Praise the Lord, everybody. The message this morning For God so loved the world. Sounds a little bit like a Christmas message, doesn't it? For God so loved the world. John 3:16. It's a verse I think every Christian knows, and I think that even most non-Christians have at least seen it referred to. But in the King James Version, it goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. You could break this down in this verse and preach a lot of messages on this one verse. Bless you. For God so loved the world that he gave. I mean, right there is a message. He gave that to prove that he loved the world, that he gave. I want to talk a little bit this morning just about the first five words. For God so loved the world. Yeah, six, sorry. I think in the bulletin I put God so loved the world, so it was five in the, but maybe I changed it again. But for God so loved the world. It's interesting to me, the first class we had this morning, we talked a little bit about as children, a lot of times we were introduced to Christ. We may have even given our life to Christ as a child. A lot of us found the world tempting and spent some time there, and thank God found our way back to a loving God. When I was a child, I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor for almost as long as I could remember. Prior to that, he was a choir director and worship leader, and we were highly, highly involved with church. We were there every time the doors were open. I don't care what it was for. If the church doors were open, we were there. I don't remember ever as a child driving by the church and somebody being there that we weren't there. So I grew up in church, and I grew up around hearing about God, hearing about the things of God. I even grew up watching God move on different people's lives. I saw people shout. I saw people run the aisles. I saw people rolling around on the floor. I mean, some really strange things that I watched as people were having an encounter with God. But personally, I wasn't paying that close attention. Now, of course, when we played church, we always played the ones who made more of a scene. We didn't play church like the ones who just sat on the pew. We really didn't even know who they were because they never stood out. It was the ones like old Brother Zerby who'd get up and he'd sit in the second row with the pews, and he would shout. He was a big guy like me, and he would shout and spin around like a top, and he would make those pews, front, both the one behind him and the one in front of him, they would just move like the screws weren't even hardly there. And he would like it was almost like a scream. He'd get really excited. And we would watch that as a child, as a young person, as a teenager. but really didn't have an encounter with him myself. I do remember one time when I was, I believe, 15. We had an evangelist come through who was a pastor's son who was a few years older than me. And he was probably maybe 21. His name was Mick Friend. And he preached a series of revival services. And he talked about how as a teenager, he used to get in all kinds of trouble. I mean, him and his brothers would steal the church van and go get alcohol and go partying. And I thought, I'm nowhere near that bad. I'm good. Because I didn't do that kind of stuff. I was too afraid. I was afraid of my parents, let alone God. But he talked about how he came and had an encounter with God and turned his life around. And that day, I really came close. I really came close to thinking, yeah, this is what I want for my life. But there was still really no relationship with God. It was still a lot to do with religion. And I had heard this verse, for God so loved the world, but my interpretation of the world was different than my revelation of it now. See, I knew, because the scripture said so, I knew that God loved the world. And I could relate that to mankind in general. But not me individually, not me personally. He loved mankind. He loved the world. But how could he possibly know me? How could he possibly know the desires of my heart? Even though I had heard that, how could he possibly know me? How could he possibly love me? Because even as a teenager, growing up in a pastor's home, I did not fit in with the kids at school. I really didn't. I was different than they were. I knew it and they knew it. I wasn't allowed to do the same things they were allowed to do. I wasn't allowed to go places they went. I really was, according to religion standards, I wasn't allowed to do anything. My kids think I was tough on them. They have no clue. Right, Cindy? They have no clue. Because it was rough. But there was a difference. And so even when in my rebellious years, when I was doing things I wasn't supposed to be doing, I still really was uncomfortable. Didn't really fit in. It was later in life when I had put so many chemicals in my body that I stopped really thinking whether I fit in or not, didn't care anymore. But when I was younger, I remember knowing that I was odd and I didn't fit in with the things of the world and the people of the world. And I didn't like that feeling at all. I don't think anybody does. Come to realize later that most of us have at least gone through a period in our life where we felt a little bit like we didn't fit in. Even the most popular kid in school, come to find out, they went through a period where they didn't feel like they fit in. So I had a really tough time understanding or getting a revelation or contemplating at all that God loved me. That was a rough one. Because, see, like a lot of people, if God loved me, why would he make me feel so terrible all the time? Not realizing that it wasn't God making me feel bad, it was people. And so, without really having an encounter with God and knowing him as a person, knowing him as my Savior, knowing him as someone who really loves me, I walked away. We talked about it this morning, but I walked away from God for a long time. I spent more years out of the church than I did in the church as a young person. I was so not wanting to have anything to do with God that I met my wife and I thought, this is perfect girl for me. As far as I knew, she had no knowledge of God whatsoever. I was wrong about that, but I thought she had no knowledge of God. Because remember, I grew up in a very strict religious church, so anything less than that, you really don't know anything. Right? And for those of you who've been there, you know, the Methodists and the Presbyterians, they don't know anything, which is not true. But at least that's what you think when you've, you know, been introduced to Pentecostalism and charismaticism, which not at that point, but and we met actually on our way to a bar. So I thought for sure that this was going to be good for me. I wasn't ever going to have to worry about, you know, being asked to go to church or anything like that. But God had other plans. And within a couple of years, God got a hold of Tammy. She had some of the same experiences that you guys have had this morning, where she did have an encounter with God as a child. And then as an adult, found her way back into the arms of a loving God. And I was so disappointed. I was so upset. I thought, dear Lord, you will not leave me alone, will you? So we came to a pretty good agreement. Here's the deal. You can go to church. I am not going to be one of those guys who stands in your way of going to church, taking the kids to church. I'm not going to give you a hard time. I don't care if you go every night of the week. Doesn't bother me one bit, but just don't ask me to go. And our conversations about God usually came into where she would have a problem with something. And of course, I thought I knew everything. So she'd come home and I'd try to explain it to her if she had a problem. I look back on it now and some of those I think were absolutely wrong, my explanations. But I had still not had an encounter with God that was something that would change my life. I had no revelation of the love of God. All I had was information. Sometimes you could take information, but unless it's applied, it really means nothing. So I had information that God so loved the world. Now, I happened to be part of the world, but I was such a small, minute little speck that it wasn't so much me that he loved, it was the world that he loved. Years, almost a couple decades later, I think I had worn my wife down pretty good. I know she was having a difficult time trying to keep it together. She was in the process of thinking she was going to change the churches she was going to. She didn't really like it that much. And so it was easy for her to stay home. And, But in the process of that, that she definitely went through some periods. And our marriage was in a shambles. It was not good. And so I think a lot of times she thought, I'll try to like do the things he wants to do to try to keep this marriage together. And it was not good. It was bad. And I've told some of you guys this story before. Some of you have heard it a couple times, but one day I had a situation where I was trying to sell these vacuums and I couldn't sell them to save my life. They were good vacuums, but I just couldn't save them. They were expensive, but I couldn't sell them to save my life. And a Saturday morning, I was in my car heading to my appointment, and I said to God out of nowhere, hadn't prayed for years. And I said, you know, God, I know without a shadow of a doubt, whatever imp was, whatever devil was assigned to me probably got whiplash because I said, you know, God, and that imp probably hurt his neck. I said, you know, Tammy's been faithful to you. And your word says that if she's faithful to you, that you will supply all of her needs. Now, I'm the only one who has a job. So if you're going to supply her needs financially, you have to do it through me. Of course, I really didn't know that God could do all kinds of stuff, but it made sense to me. And so I asked God to do something which I thought was really impossible. I asked God to, listen, my theology was completely warped and messed up, but sometimes God will let you believe something so he can get your attention. And I thought for sure that this was an impossibility, but I prayed, God, if you would, let these people that I'm going to sell this machine to, let them see that they need this machine, because God will supply our needs. I know, it was warped. Let them see that they need this machine. It's not just a want, it's a need, even if they have to give something up to get it. So I go to this place, and the night before, I have to tell you a little bit, this night before I was at this house over in Bloomsburg that had shag carpet. And when I gave the demonstration, I literally pulled Cheerios and Fruit Loops up out of their carpet after they vacuumed with their vacuum. And the people had the money, but they didn't buy the machine. And I thought they were nuts. But I go to this house on Saturday. It's a brand new trailer with brand new carpet. And they had a brand new dirt duffel. I don't think there was even any fuzz in the bag. So during the demonstration, you're supposed to use their vacuum 20 times to pick up whatever dirt's in there. Well, it's brand new. There was no dirt in there. I pull out my machine. I give them the spiel, and I vacuum it, and honestly used water for this machine. If I didn't know where the water had been, I would have drank it. It was that clear, that clean. And the man looks at his wife and says, honey, we need this machine. And I about fell out of my chair. I thought, why? I wasn't that good of a salesman, trust me. He goes, honey, we need this machine. And she looks at him and she goes, I know we do. But we can't afford it. You're about to retire. And he looks at her, he goes, I think I'll work another year. I'm losing it. I don't really remember a whole lot from that moment until the moment I was in the car driving home. It was a blur because I was blown away by how God had answered my prayer so distinctly, so completely. For someone who hadn't even prayed in years, not really sure I ever really did pray prior to that. And so I'm in the car and something happened. I got a revelation to these words, for God so loved the world. And in the car, I was completely engulfed and overwhelmed by the love of God. Now, see, by this point, society and myself had classified me as a drug addict and an alcoholic. I really was a bum. And in that less than a second of a moment, God had completely delivered me from drugs and alcohol. Completely took the desire away. And if you talk to anybody who's dealing with drugs or alcohol addiction, it's the desire that'll kill you. And he took the desire completely away. physically and mentally, it was gone. The addiction was gone. There was this split second that I knew. And I knew God knew. And I knew God knew that I knew that my life was changed. From that moment forward, there was going to be something different. Not because I was worthy, not because of who my parents are, not because of who my wife is, but because God loved me. That he changed my life with a revelation of his love. Now, the reason I know that it was a revelation of his love is because when I got home, I couldn't stop crying for weeks. I couldn't stop crying. I would listen to a song about how much somebody loves God, and I'd just be, oh, me too. Or how much God loves them, and I'm like, me too. Revelation will change your life. Revelation will not allow you to be where you are today when you have been, when God has revealed something to you. You can no longer go back and play ignorant. You cannot go back and say, well, I didn't know. I could never stand and tell anyone that God does not love me because I've had an encounter with a revelation that God loves me. And I can stand here today and tell you that God loves you. If you've not had a revelation of how much he loves you, all you got to do is say, God, I need a revelation of how much you love me. I need to encounter your presence. I need to know that without a shadow of a doubt, I am never alone because you love me. It wasn't probably about 6 months and I started preaching. And one of the first messages I preached, I remember it was now that, and I said, I called it, Now That's Love. See, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus came and died on the cross for my sins. He gave up his life so that I could live forever in eternity with him. But let me tell you about another love. The Holy Spirit was with me everywhere I went from a child on. Places that today I would still never tell my mom I was. He was with me. He watched me do all the stuff that I should have never done. He was there the whole time, loving me, caring for me. Every place you've ever been, he's always been there with you. The Spirit of God is everywhere. And he didn't wake up one day and say, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that Martha accepted me as her Savior. I did not mean for that to happen. Really? Not only for us, but every single person that you come in contact with throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, every single person that you come in contact with, God loves them. even if they're jerks, even if they're mean and hateful, even if they're Pennsylvania Dutch. You know what I'm talking about, right? God loves them. Our job as a lover of Christ is to be an ambassador and share that love with everyone we come in contact with. I forget, was it Tammy? You saw somebody the other day. Oh, we were downtown, and there was a lady standing outside on her porch. And Tammy goes, that lady comes into to Wise's all the time. She is the nicest lady. I'll bet you she's a Christian. And she is. Isn't that something that we could be proud to know, that people recognize us as Christians and lovers of Christ because that love exudes from us? This is a piece of my story. We all have our own story. We all have that when God touched my life and made a difference, when God revealed himself to me, in whatever way that was. For me, it was I needed to know him as someone who loves me. You may have needed to know him as a father, or as a brother, or a sister, a companion, a friend, a savior. But he reveals himself to us as we need him. And revelation will change our life permanently. In the business world, there's a line that goes like this. Facts tell, but stories sell. Facts tell, but stories sell. I've heard my mom use it many, many times. You can tell somebody all about God, but when you flip and you start telling them about your relationship with God, that story that is your story, no one can argue with you about it because it's your story. You don't know for sure what my story is, except for the part that I told you. But you know your story. Revelation 19:10 says, there's a part of it that says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When you reveal your story to someone, you are testifying about how God loves you, about how God cares for you, about how God can heal you, how God can deliver you. When you tell your story, you are selling the story of Jesus, because it's your story and his story together. You have a story to tell. How has he revealed himself to you? Would you stand with me this morning? I would like to give opportunity this morning. If you don't have a story to tell, if you've not had an encounter with Jesus, if you've not had an encounter with the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, today would be a good day to make your life completely different from this day forward. A revelation of Jesus. It's interesting because the Bible talks about line upon line, precept upon precept. That means no matter where we are, there is more of him to know. There's more about him to know. And our story's not over. There's more to come than what's already happened. He's not done with us yet. We're still here. We're still breathing. He's not done with us yet. He's got something for us to do. There's more to the story. And this morning, if you don't know exactly which step you're supposed to take in the next part of this story, I encourage you to find a place to get alone with God today. Say, God, I need to know, what is the direction of the story? Where do we go next? What's the next chapter? What's the next piece to this puzzle? If you've not had an encounter with him in a long time, we would be honored to pray with you today and invite the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, to come into your life and make a revelation that will change your life permanently. Heavenly Father, we love you. We invite you to come into this place. Holy Spirit of the living God, we ask that you would engulf us in your love and your mercy and your grace, because it is the kindness of God that draws men to repentance. We ask, Lord, that your presence would come and just completely engulf us. Reveal your presence to us. Reveal who you are to us, Lord. Let your revelation knowledge be increased in our lives, that we may know you in a way that we've not known you before. Let your power and your love come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Jesus. Give you the honor and the glory. We pray blessings upon your people today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you, find someone. Pray for the opportunity to share your story with someone soon, so that we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. Share your story. Let people know how it was that you came to know a loving Savior that can change not only your life, but change theirs. Be blessed and go with God.